Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschooled.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey. Welcome back to Homeschooled Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida, the host of the Homeschooled Podcast. My co-host Kevin Lyons is still out of town, but he's here in spirit and good spirit, sending some well wishes over to Kevin Lyons. He still does a great job on all the editing. I do have a guest today. My guest is not in-house, not because we're afraid of the vid, but because my guest lives in New York City, so he's going to be calling in any second now. Quick reminder that this episode is brought to you by Share a Sale. You guys have never heard me talk about Share a Sale on here before, but I've been working with them for a very, very long time. Listen, do you have a podcast of your own? Do you constantly wonder, how do I get sponsors on my podcast? How can I start making money on my podcast? Listen, guys, Share a Sale is where you want to go so that you can start earning revenue on your podcast, so you can start having sponsors and reading off, ads or promoting some great products like I do here on my podcast. So if you have a podcast and you're wondering, how do I get sponsors, click the link in the description to go to Share a Sale, okay? And you fill out an application, you get approved, and there's a bunch of merchants on there that offer products, services. And once you get approved for each one, you can just start selling them as well. Okay, you guys, that's what I've been doing. It works great for me. And then they give you the links, they give you the promo codes, and every time somebody uses your link, you get paid. Also, if you have a business and you're wondering, how do I get a podcast to sponsor my business? You can go also click the link in the description to sign up for Share a Sale as a merchant instead of affiliate. So you can sign up as a merchant, put your business on there, and people who have podcasts will come and they will apply to be your podcast and vice versa. Okay, so guys, that's how you get sponsors for your podcast. And that's how you get paid. So click the link in the description. And remember, if you have a podcast and you want sponsors, you're gonna sign up as an affiliate. If you have a business and you want a podcast to represent you and to promote you, you're gonna sign up as a merchant. Okay, you guys, click the link in the description. Start making money on your business or your podcast today. Also, this episode is brought to you by Puffy Mattress, America's number one voted mattress, because they give you 101 nights free sleep, all right? Zero risk for 101 nights to try it. If you don't like it, guaranteed your money back. But listen, guys, I got to tell you, after having the thing for maybe, I don't know, a couple of weeks, I already knew that it was an awesome mattress, because my back pain, which I had had for years and getting worse, every time I woke up with back pain, all of a sudden went away. Puffy Mattress is made in the USA. It's voted number one memory foam mattress that's delivered to your door. Out of all those billions of ads that you see for mattresses, Puffy is the best. Click the link in the description and get your Puffy mattress and find out if you qualify for zero down and financing, so that you don't have to pay for your mattress all up front. Because the importance of a good night's sleep is honestly more important than you think. It has to do with your daily life, your depression, your moods, how motivated you feel to get out there and go get it. So guys, Puffy Mattress is the way to go. Click the link in the description. All right, let's give a call over to my guest, Ryan Hernandez. Ryan is a stand-up comedian who I met when he was doing comedy out here in LA, and then he decided, you know what, I'm going to move to New York and try that comedy scene. And that was a few years ago, and I honestly haven't heard from him since, so it'll be nice to catch up. Let's give him a call.
Hello.
Hey, Ryan.
What's up?
How you doing, bro?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
Dude, I haven't talked to you in a very long time. I'm doing okay.
Doing okay? What's it been, Augustino? 6 years? Seven?
Probably.
Ten?
No, not 10.
No, it's not.
Maybe 5 or 6?
5 or 4, because I remember I came back down and you were running a mic, and I did your mic. I think I was with Nick.
Was that
the
in,
last time I talked to you?
Was that the mic in Reseda at the Dark Horse?
No. That was where, what was that little hookah lounge? It was near there. It was like a bar. It was near that hookah lounge that Jackson McQueen used to run.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Remember that one?
That was Nabil's spot. Remember Nabil?
Oh, yeah. Nabil, yeah.
Yeah, that was Nabil's barbecue joint. And then, like, he, attached to his barbecue spot, there's, like, a really, really small, like, speakeasy that sits maybe 15 people. And I was doing a mic back. Oh, yeah, dude. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I think I was, like, a year in New York when I came back and did that.
I used to do those twice a week, and they were going great. And then Nabil sold the whole place, sold the business.
Wait, Nabil actually owned the whole spot?
Nabil, that was his barbecue joint.
Oh, no yeah. way. I thought Nabil was just some crazy motorcycle guy that just roamed the country.
Well, he is.
He rolled around and just did mics all over L.A.
No, Nabil's a good dude. He's like a, you know, actor, comedian. And then his girl, Quincy, I think is originally like a New York comic. So you might know her, his girlfriend, Quincy.
Oh, okay.
But I think that she kind of like moved out here with him now. But yeah, dude, he sold that place, which, I mean, good for him because I know he wanted to get out of the restaurant business. But we had some fun mics there, bro.
Yeah. It was a good time. That was a long time ago, though. Yeah. I remember hanging out there. I didn't even expect to go up. And then you're like, hey, you want to do some time? Like, I'm down.
Well, yeah.
Good time, though.
When was the next time you were going to be in LA again? That's what I was thinking. So
I keep getting pushed back. So like, it's so funny. Like I do go to LA. I try to go once or twice a year because my dentist is in LA. I've never switched dentists.
Okay.
Reason being is because my dentist doesn't charge me. Like you know, how, like a good dentist is hard to find.
Yeah.
And so like my insurance. They just rate my insurance and they don't charge me anything. So
wow.
Anytime I've gone to like, so I always try to go back there at least like once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But,
well, don't say his name because I'm sure,
no, I'm definitely,
I'm getting in trouble.
Not. Yeah.
I'm
right?
sure he's a great dentist though, but yeah, dude, that's the way to go.
It's
that's worth it.
And then like, I tried out here and then they fucking like right off the bat just for cleaning, they're like 200.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of
yeah.
here, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's hard to find a good dentist. I know. I just found a great one. I just found a great one out here, dude. I was, like, so happy. Like, I am – you probably don't know this about me, but, like, I have always been very squeamish with anything. Like, and it's getting worse as I get older. Like, blood-related, having anything to do with doctors. And I never would have thought, but, like, I went to the eye doctor, and it happened to me, too. Like, I get really faint, and I throw up.
Really?
If you try to take blood from me or if you start talking about anything medical around me.
You just start screaming and yelling until they have to fucking sedate you?
No, but I do always tell them, like, I tell the nurse, I tell the doctor, hey, like, do what you got to do, but don't tell me about it. Like, don't talk in very detail. Like, you know what I mean? And they never listen,
Augustino,
bro.
Augustino, we're going to have to put a finger in your butt. You're like, why? I'm not the eye doctor. Why?
It's like, crazy, man.
And then they're like, just don't worry about it. We got you.
And if you
got
to do needles, like they had to take blood but the other day, but not even like, not the other day. This is like maybe at the beginning of this year, but not like a big-ass needle, but like one of those quick prick ones that they do on your finger, you know, to get a blood sample. They had to do one of those, and I go, all right, do it quick. And I go, but don't describe it to me. I'm going to look away. And, of course, the nurse starts going like, I didn't get enough blood on that one. I'm going to have to squeeze so that we can get a drop of blood out. And I was like, oh.
She started asking for help.
She just started describing to me what she was going to do. And I
was
like,
someone else in here.
I'm like, lady,
you
just killed us all. You just killed us all. You know, and then, so anyway, I went to this brand new dentist and I was like terrified. And, I mean, this dude was like so good that apparently I didn't even know it, but he was putting a needle in my gums, like to numb it.
And that's old school.
Old school,
that's
bro.
Dope.
And if I didn't, if I would have seen the needle, or if I would have known what he was doing, it would have been game over. But he didn't even tell me, and he literally has like flat screen TVs and just puts on TV for you to watch. I was just watching TV, and he was like, it was like literally like no pain, dude.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Once they start giving you those fucking good drugs, it's, I mean, it's game over. That's what, you love that shit.
Yeah.
You just start
But that's definitely worth
it. He's like, one for you and one for me. Yeah, let's do this, Doc.
Yeah, hilarious. Yeah, no, that's worth the flying out to L.A. alone is a good dentist.
Yeah, and then I try to use an excuse to go around and just make a couple trips and see people and fuck it.
Yeah, well.
Pretend I'm in at certain clubs and just like, hey, what's up, guys?
There's not much going on right now.
Dude, there's nothing going on anywhere. This whole COVID thing, how's that been over there?
Well, dude, we're at the stage where I'm hearing a lot of talk of people trying to do underground shit, like mics.
Oh.
Like every comic wants to start an underground mic secret, man. We're just going to fuck the, like, you know.
You need a certain knock to get in.
Yeah. Everybody's got that idea right now. But, like, no one has a venue.
No, because no one will give it to you, dude.
Yeah.
That shit is so fucking crazy. Dude, they've been doing that here, but they've been getting busted up. And it's just like. Wow.
Yeah. And the restaurants don't want to have anything to do with it because they're like, we're going to get in trouble, you know?
Yeah. They're not doing any of that. What they've kind of been doing over here is certain places have been doing outdoor spots. So, like.
Yeah.
I know there in Long Island City, there's a parking lot. A couple comics got together and they did a parking lot show where they kept everyone spaced apart. It was kind of like an outdoorsy thing, which is a little rough because of the sound quality and everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's something. Then you have fucking maniacs. Like, dude, they had this drive-in show going on for a minute.
which was
you set up in the back of a truck. And everyone stayed in their cars. And if they thought the joke was funny, the cars would honk their horns.
Dude, that was going on all over the country.
Dude, that's fucking retarded. Like,
hey, man.
And it just sounds like the fucking 405. But that's how desperate we are to fucking get off stage.
I'll tell you what, bro. I'd rather
that's
do
how
that.
We're like, oh, dude, I don't care.
Dude, I'd rather do that than do a Zoom show.
Oh, 100%.
You won't see me on a Zoom show.
No. I mean, we'll go. Me and my friends go on there to like certain ones to like make fun.
Yeah,
but that's the most that we'll do.
A podcast
members.
A podcast, like I'll do it on a Zoom show, but I'm not doing.
Yeah, I mean, because that's genuinely conversational and just trying like actual normal what Zoom was made for. I mean, really for conferences, but I mean like that.
Right.
Having a show like that is fucking. They're just all been brutal.
Yeah, somebody asked me today.
Every pitch.
Someone asked me today, dude. They're like, "Do you want to do a Zoom show?" And I was like, "No, thank you." And they go, "Why?" I go, "Two reasons. Number one, that's not stand-up comedy." I go, "Number two, Zoom is a spying device for China." So
all your jokes are gonna get stolen and put up in China,
dude. You know shit. You know shit is fucked up when you go to the haha with an idea for an underground comedy show, and they're like, "Are you crazy? We're gonna get in trouble."
Dude, they ban you even for bringing it up.
Dude,
we're not open, but you're still banned.
No, but they don't. You know, they're playing it smart, man. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They're like, "Our liquor license is on the line. We don't want to get fined." So
yeah, it's just it's crazy. It's just, and it's crazy just how people got, I got COVID. I got sick off that shit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
I'm fucking quarantined right now.
So wait, did you get diagnosed with COVID or did you just get a bad flu?
Yeah, well, no, I got diagnosed with that shit. So basically what happened was it's weird because it went from sick to sick to sick, meaning like I felt fine. My wife, everyone, we've been fine. And then my wife's friend calls my wife and goes, "Hey, just so you know, I tested positive for COVID. You got to go get checked." And then so she went to go get tested and then she got it. And I'm like, fuck. So then I got to get tested and I fucking came out positive with it. And I've been about a week into it. And the weirdest thing, not one symptom. I've been chilling this whole time. The only thing I will say that I've had is fatigue. We're just like, I'm just more tired than what I usually am, mm-hmm. but nothing's been like, no ventilators or no anything like that. So
right.
That's the only crazy thing about it. But I got 2 weeks off from work.
Paid?
They paid 2 weeks and they wow. closed down my whole store and everything.
Wow. That's crazy, man. I think that, I don't know, dude. It's just like every day there's like a new symptom. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like at first they're like, you know, if you have a hard time breathing, if you have like sore throat and stuff like that, you might have COVID. And then the next day they're like, you know, if you got an itchy elbow, you know what I mean? It's
dude,
just like this thing.
Dude, diarrhea is a fucking symptom.
Yeah.
Diarrhea is considered a symptom. And I'm like, dude, I've had diarrhea since I was 10 years old.
Like, I feel like whatever to like bring the numbers up or to scare you, whatever like season it's in, they're going to say that's the symptom. Like when we went through the winter, it was like cold symptoms. And then now we're in the summer, it's coming back again. Dude, my wife sent me an article today. What's that?
If you got a sunburn, you have COVID.
Yeah, dude. They're like, okay, so my wife sent me an article today that goes, the article goes, you can catch COVID from your air conditioner. Like, you're more likely to catch COVID from staying inside from the heat and running your air conditioner all day. It was just like, now that it's summer, they're pushing that on you, going like, you know, because they know you're inside running the air conditioner. It's like, every season, they're just adding the normal symptoms you have every year. You know, like I almost felt kind of like a scratchy throat in the morning, but not throughout the day, only in the morning when I wake up. And I know it's because I sleep with the AC on. It happens to me every year.
AC on. Yeah. I was about to say the exact same thing. I'm like, probably because you have your AC on.
Yeah. And they know that. And they know that people are going to start going, well, this isn't COVID sick. This is like, I get this every year. This is like air conditioner sick. So now they release this article about the air conditioner. And it's like, you know, it's like whatever it is to get you fucking worried, man, you know, to think that you have it. I don't know, dude. It's...
Whatever. We're all going to turn into zombies in like 4 years.
Yeah. Right now is not even the bad part. We're going to grow like extra limbs and shit.
We're in the Renaissance era of COVID. Then it's whatever they made it with is going to kick in. We're going to be biting people. There's someone going to shoot me in the head and it's all good.
and then they go, yes, you might as well live now. No, but then they go, do you have any symptoms? And you're like, no, I have zero symptoms. And they go, well, that's a symptom. You know, you're like, really? Like, you didn't even have symptoms, but you got diagnosed.
They're like,
with it.
That's a symptom of not having symptoms.
Yeah, like you're
corona. No, dude, that fucking had that test though was fucking vile. Have you had it?
Hell no.
Have you had to take it yet?
Hell no.
Oh my god.
I know.
I mean, like, take it if you need to, but it's fucking. I had to take it twice.
Oh, so that's the. Did they go up your nose?
Oh yeah, dude, it's so fucked. So like when I
dude,
did
don't
it,
tell me about it. I'm gonna faint.
I told. Hold on. There's three different ways you can get it. You can get it from the ER.
Yeah.
You can get it from urgent care. I don't know if you guys have urgent cares over there, which is just like
yeah, we do.
It's like
yeah.
a generic. Okay, so the urgent care, and then the other one is through the city. So like basically. One of my coworkers tested positive. So like this is beginning, like this is like back in like May.
Yeah.
May or April. So I was like, I don't want to fucking go to work, so let me go get the test to see if I am. And so I go get the test. And so you make an appointment and it's a drive through.
Right.
You go through, they have it at this closed down casino. It's like army forwarded. It's like the National Guard there. It's fucking bananas.
Wow.
So I go there. And I have my dog in the back seat. As soon as I pull up, they start yelling at me. They're like, "What's your dog doing there?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And then so they fucking yell at me. Then they tell me that I have to put my ID on my dashboard.
Yeah.
And then so I go put my ID on the dashboard. I go through like four different check signs. Each one of them has like an AR-15.
Wow.
And fucking they're like, this is like when COVID first hit. So they're like not fucking around. And so they're there. They're doing that. And I have to go through all these checkpoints. They're putting stuff on my windshield. It is what it is. And so as soon as I get to the front part, he goes, put on your mask. I put on a mask and starts explaining the system, what's going to happen. Because you're going to go through that lady. She's going to take a sample from you. You're all good. And I go, all right. And so as soon as I pull up, the lady, she fucking has me pull down my mask. And you already seen this, dude. It's like a fucking thick ass Q-tip.
I've seen the videos.
It's like, oh, dude, it's like a Q-tip, like no joke. It's probably like a good foot long.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, dude, like I'd rather get the old school STD test where they put a Q-tip in your dick hole than to get that fucking thing in my nose. So what happens is,
bro, no more detail, no more detail.
What happens? No. They put it in. They put it in to a certain point to where your navel cavity is, which is fine. That's not an issue. We've all done cocaine. We know how that goes. We're like, I'm fine. And then they push back that. So when he did it to me, my eyes got all watery, and it doesn't hurt.
I'm not taking that test, bro.
It does not hurt.
Dude, you don't understand.
It doesn't hurt.
You don't understand. It's not about pain.
It doesn't hurt.
It's not about pain.
But it just feels like you're getting violated.
I'm fainting and or vomiting. Dude, I cannot take this test.
Augustino, he pulls it out, and I sneezed all over the dude. Because, like, I don't know, I guess, like, it hit a sinus or something like that. So right when he pulls out, I go, ah, chew. And he starts freaking out, and then they start screaming at me. Two dudes start pointing AR-15s at me, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And then my dog gets excited because of that and just starts barking and going wild in the back seat. And, like, it literally was, like, 15 seconds of chaos, which seems like nothing, but it seemed like an eternity.
Right.
And then I just couldn't stop laughing because the dude was freaking out that I sneezed on him. But that test was a negative test, so no one caught anything.
Oh,
no,
so you had
no
to do
foul.
It twice.
I got no. That one was fine. So, like, I set the negative, nothing happened. This recent one, the one I just told you about before, where, like, my wife's friend and then all that happened recently. And I had to go back to the same spot, do the same test. But I was like, I've already done it, so I already knew what to happen. It wasn't as bad, but still, it just fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah, that sounds fucking awful, man.
You're the opposite. I could do needles all day. One time when I went for surgery, I'd broken a leg, and I remember I had this rookie nurse that just couldn't find a vein on me and poked me like 4 times, and we both were laughing together about it, and I really didn't care.
Oh, man.
That I can't, I don't mind, but like fucking Q-tip in the dick hole can't do, fucking
dude.
Coronavirus test I can't do. That's just brutal.
It's awful, man. I saw one like picture that somebody showed like on a diagram or, you know, like an outline of a person's face and how far they actually go up, and it touches your brain,
bro. Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Well, I don't think it touches your brain, but it definitely goes.
It's like that far, though.
they push it in, and all of a sudden you just start having all these weird.
We gotta change the subject. We gotta change the subject because I am feeling weird. But anyway, man. So listen.
Prison rape. So,
at the beginning of, I think, like the lockdown and everything. Which, by the way, I think that. Whatever the equivalent of COVID is, or whatever you want to call it, I think that I also had it. And a lot of people think they had it. Like,
a lot of people do.
I think I had it in December. And then I know my sister thought that she had it in November. And I remember having a really, really bad, like, worse than ever flu. And it lasted, like, a week or two. And I couldn't go on stage or anything for, like, 2 weeks. And then I remember my first time back up on stage, I was still like so like lightheaded. I thought it was just a really bad flu.
Up there.
Yeah. Like when I yelled, because I get really loud on stage and stuff. When I yelled, I can feel like I almost passed out, you know? Like it was a nasty flu, and I just thought it was a bad flu at the time. And then, you know, so now I'm thinking maybe I had it because they are saying that it could have been here, you know, longer than we knew. But anyway, when the lockdown first started, everybody was having these really vivid dreams. Or I know a lot of people were having really vivid dreams because you were just constantly thinking about, you know, what is this? What's going to happen? You know, and plus you're stuck inside all day just doing the same shit every day. And I know a lot of people had really vivid dreams. And I went through a short portion of that, and then it kind of went away. I've talked about it a little bit.
Real quick, the dreams started happening when people started realizing how serious it was.
Yeah.
Because there was a point where, like, we all joked about it. Like, you bunch of pussies. Fucking, this is stupid. Like, it's just, like, no one really took it seriously. But then there is a point to when the kind of lockdown started happening. And then, like, I don't know how it was in L.A., but, like, I know for us here, like, for me, the turning point because you know Brian, Brian Day, right?
Yes.
You remember?
Yeah, yeah, he's out there in New York too, right?
Yeah, so yeah, he's out here, and we were supposed to do a show in Philly. And then, so we were supposed to do a show in Philly, literally when all the lockdowns were happening. So he set up a road show, and the problem was he overbooked it. And he didn't know what to do. He's all freaked out because of us, like kind of like our group of friends. Plus, he had some people that he had on show that had people coming. And so he was like, he didn't know what to do. And he kind of asked me, and I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. I was like, completely understand. Like, I was like, I just want to go. Don't worry about it. And then I was like, just get me on the next one. And so we're cool, whatever. It fucking washed out. And then I remember the day else, because the show was on Thursday. We're supposed to leave Wednesday. And this is like in mid-March. Instead of going to that, I just went out and I got fucking wasted. And then I remember getting drunk that night. And I just remember seeing, like, I don't know, it just felt weird being out that night. And I talked to them later. And they said, they had a small theater that was sold out. And, like, not even 25% of, like, they sold the tickets. But yeah, only 25% of the people showed up. And then they go, dude, it was a shit show. And then, like, half of the stuff that was going on because of COVID. I remember after then everything just started shutting down. Schools got shut down for us. Alternate side parking got shut down. Places like my job shut down for a quick minute.
Yeah.
And the whole city went on lockdown. And I remember it got freaky to one point because so many people were going to the hospital that I remember walking my dog at night and no joke, there was ambulances every other apartment's complex structure in front of them carrying people out. And I was like, oh shit, this is fucking wild. And that's when it was dude, we're not leaving the fucking house.
Yeah. Yeah, man. When the writings thing happened, it was just when everybody started to kind of feel normal again. And then the vivid dreams and stuff would stop, you got them back again. And then I've been actually doing pretty good. Not that I ever really had a giant problem with the lockdown in general. I used it to its full advantage, to get ahead of the game in a lot of stuff, including releasing an album and all this stuff, bro. But,
I wrote for 3 days and that was it.
I try to write.
I'm on top of it.
I worked on some projects around the house. I had an old comedy album that needed to be edited. I got a lot of shit done, bro. But I was saying, a lot of people told me, and then I experienced it a little bit, and I know my wife experienced it, is about the vivid dreams. And I even wrote a bit about it. And when I went and performed, a couple weeks ago, I was in Arizona, because that state is pretty much kind of halfway open, so I was able to do shows out there. And I actually did the new bit about dreams that I had wrote and stuff, and it was working really well, and everyone could relate because everyone kind of went through these vivid dreams. And the whole idea of the bit is me complaining about people that tell you their whole dream and shit like that, which I'm about to do to you, so I'm a hypocrite. But but now, dude, I'm having a whole different type of dream. I'm having vivid dreams again, and you know what it's from, man? It's from lack of being on stage and
I thought you were gonna say from drinking too much NyQuil. Every time NyQuil, my dreams go all fucking wild.
No, dude, right now it's from I'm being stage deprived. I'm also being comedy club deprived. I've been a comic for 11 years, and I started when I was a kid. You know what I mean? And so, it's been a big part of my life.
It's probably anxiety that's built up from it, because you're used to,
It was a great outlet.
Not even just going on stage. Just the lifestyle of it, the hang.
It's the lifestyle of it. Bro.
Because even sometimes when you don't have spots, you just go hang out because you want to be around comics.
And you're out late hanging with comics, and you're bouncing ideas off each other, and you're busting balls, and it's just a part of the lifestyle. Or
anything to not be with your wife. I get it.
Dude, I am in love with stand-up comedy.
My friends are so much better than yours. God.
No, you know what I mean, dude? I love it, and I really, really do miss it a lot. And now I'm starting to have dreams almost every night about performing, like me being on stage or me sitting in a green room and waiting my turn. And it's actually gotten to be this vivid, bro. I'm actually having a dream where I'm sitting in the green room like the entire time while the opener goes on, the host goes on. You know what I mean? The feature goes on, the headliner goes on.
Jokes?
No, dude, I go on and do a whole set in my dream. We're talking a whole set. Dude, I'm murdering it. And then I come back to the green room.
What kind of dreams? What kind of positive?
This is what I'm telling you, dude.
I fucking bomb on my dreams. I either that or I forget my jokes.
Well, no, bro, you're confusing reality with dream. I'm just kidding. No, dude, and like I'll actually go on stage, perform.
I'm on stage, like, it's all good. This is just a dream.
And I'll come back off stage, and I'll sit there in the green room and like continue to talk to comics and stuff. And it's like the dreams feel that real. And dude, I had a dream. I swear to God, I think it was yesterday. And this is why I thought to hit you up, because I haven't hit you up in years. I haven't, you know, even seen you in years. So
yeah.
I hit you up, dude, because I was doing a show in my dream, and I don't remember where I was, but you were right before me. Like, being awake, I'm going to be honest with you. Awake, I haven't thought about you in a really long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Asleep, yeah. All of a sudden, you're the comic before me. And you went up, dude, and literally, I can remember. Well, right now I don't remember like all your bits and stuff, but I in my dream I sat there and watched you do an entire set, you, in your voice,
yeah,
and it came back to me like clockwork, bro, in your like rhythm, in your like, you know, when you that laugh that you do after you tell a punchline, like everything,
was it,
bro.
Was it me or was it Henry Hernandez?
Oh, Hector. It was Hector. We used to call you Hector. But it was, and you know what's funny? Like right now, if you told me to tell you one of your bits, I couldn't remember them. But in the dream, they were just, I was remembering them all. It was like you were performing. It wasn't my imagination.
You were murdering?
Dude, you were having a great set. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I killed it more.
It was an okay set. I was just kidding.
It was an okay
set. Let
me ask
you this. Would the booker book me again is what I'm asking. Would it be good enough to come back?
But, bro, it was so weird. And then somebody went on after me, and I watched their whole set. Uh-huh. And it was so crazy.
You were the headliner of your own show, your own dream show?
That's hilarious. In my dream, I wasn't even the headliner. That's how much I've been featuring. Oh, man.
Normality for you?
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie to you, bro.
Hilarious.
That all literally happened. And I woke up and I was just like, I can't believe I remembered like everything in my dream about your set and your tonality. And then I hit you up that day and I was like, dude, we got to get this guy on the podcast. You know what I mean? I'm like, I haven't heard from him in forever, but that's literally what made me think of you. It was fucking crazy, bro.
Well, I'm glad we got booked together in your fucking dream show.
Yeah. My dream show, which I wasn't even
there. All those emails finally paid off.
Yeah.
Emailing, hey, man.
That's how bad comedy is right now. In my dream, I was I was making 500, and that was sweet.
And he still had to talk to you after the set. Like, hey, can I talk to you for a quick minute?
Yeah,
look, man, we didn't, because of COVID, we didn't have the show as many people as we thought we were gonna have.
Yeah, bro. I went up to afterward. I was like, bro, you didn't bring 5 people.
He's just telling you that.
Even in my dream,
yeah,
there,
man,
wasn't a lot of people.
Everyone's been locked in. Everyone's been locked in. We've just been having fucking dream sets. Comics have just been trying to fucking cancel other comics. Like, that shit's fucking brutal. Have you heard of that? Have you heard of Seth Simons? His whole thing?
About what?
You know who Seth Simons is?
Seth Simons. I don't think so.
Yes. So, little quick, so there's a comic out here, good dude named Shane Gillis. He got a spot on, last year he got booked on Saturday Night Live as a cast member.
Okay.
This guy, Seth Simons, is a comedy blogger. And he went on to that guy's podcast, found a clip of him making fun of Asians, and put it on blast.
Oh, that's right.
Viral.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. You remember that story that happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that guy has been going back and forth with New York Comics and podcasts like crazy, just basically trying to out anybody. Like, he just made it a point to be a dick and do that.
Okay.
But one of the funniest things is, like, he has that whole SJW thing, and he got called out this past weekend for him being a creep to girls when he was drunk himself. And the fucking dude, every fucking fan base of whoever he kept fucking with, dude started harassing this dude.
Wow.
Fucking 24/7 calling them sex pest Seth.
Wow.
It turned into a trending hashtag. And it was like a good, it was good justice that like a guy who was out there trying to cancel people.
Right.
And that fucking got a taste of his own medicine.
Absolutely. Absolutely, bro.
It was,
dude, by the way, it's funny you bring that up because that's my new thing. My new go-to move is when people start
canceling people.
Well, when people try to cancel people by spreading rumors that they have zero facts on, or go like, yeah, he was a dick to me, or he sexually harassed me. You know, just try to cancel people for stupid shit. My new go-to move is when someone tells me that, I go, you know what? I go, I heard that you kind of, like, from several different women, I heard that you sexually harassed them. And I'm like, a lot of chicks in comedy told me that. And they start to lose their shit, bro. They go, really? Who told you that? And I go, I can't tell you who told me, but I'm telling you. I'm like, bro.
You just have to believe all women.
That's I just go, bro, like, listen, I don't know if, I'm just saying, if I were you, I would be kind of quiet because people can come do the same thing to you. I know that people have stories. Like, they freak out and they go, I want to know who told you that and all this stuff. And then I just go, listen, the truth is, nobody told me that. But do you see how easy that was to make up? You know what I mean? You see how easy it is to ruin someone's life for no reason? Yeah, I think what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start, like, creating fake text messages with them. You know? Like the little iPhone bubbles, and get them saying fucked up shit and start posting it and be like, look, I got this text from you. You see how easy it is to manipulate these fucking texts to make it look like they're real?
It's all text bubbles from like an iPhone 4.
Yeah, it's like those green bubbles. Before SMS.
Yeah, dude, I think that's a thing too with people fucking being locked in. It's just a lot more people are bored and online, because even if you've been online, it's so fucking battlesome.
You
any
see,
subject you go on.
Some people, they try to be productive. Like, I went and found my old album, edited it down, made a CD. Other people, they go and look at podcasts
from 10 years ago
to try to find dirt on someone. Like, what are you doing with your life?
Just be like me and go on gossip blogs and fucking argue with fucking white women from Michigan that are 50 years old. That's all I do. It's fun.
Yeah, that's a bottomless hole.
Yeah, I use your trick on that one, Augustino. Instead of saying that they raped somebody, once I like reach the end of it, I just call them racist and they flip out.
Yeah.
If you call a white woman that's 40 years old or older racist, they will flip out.
Right. Dude, everybody's guilty of something. No one's perfect. Everybody's got secrets. And it's like, anything you accuse anybody of, I can probably turn it around on you. You know? But anyway.
Is this because most of it is people trying to be fake and trying to have that like glow, I'm holier than I'm a good person. Like, when you try to specifically put yourself above people and say I'm a good person, you're usually not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, man. Yeah, exactly, dude. You better be like a perfect little angel if you're going to start stirring up shit about people. Unless, of course.
Which none of us have.
Nobody's a perfect angel, dude. Like, you know, but I mean,
we all talk shit.
If someone fucking is raping people, or someone's a pedophile, dude, like, obviously I want people to stand up and fucking fight those people and take them down. Like, let's take them down. You know what I mean? But I've been saying
if you see someone, like, if you see a girl comic that you know, it's a friend, and like someone's being a creep to her, you'll be like, hey, get the fuck out of here. Like,
absolutely,
you know what I mean? No one's just going to sit there and be in like, let her get fucking molested in front of everybody. Like, that's not lit. And then I hate the narrative that people make it seem like that's how it goes on at comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, like, it's like that movie with fucking, was it not Jodie Foster, that where she gets fucking pinned up against a pinball machine. Everyone makes it seem like a comedy club that, and everyone's cheering on a dude raping a girl on a pinball machine.
Right. So, I forget what movie that is. I don't know
what
you're
talking
about.
Like a bunch of open micers are just cheering on. Like, yeah. No, that doesn't happen.
That's the one time, bro. That's the one time you want to be the opener. You don't want to be the headliner in that situation.
Unless you're a dirtbag. Some people like headlining those shows.
Yeah, dude. Fucking terrible. Dude, I've had women, female comedians back in the day when I used to, you know, manage the club. I had female comedians who were my friends tell me, like, you know, so-and-so makes me feel uncomfortable or sexually harass me, or so-and-so, like, you know, won't put me on stage unless I do stuff to him. Like some girl actually told me that one guy who used to book a show, like, told her, like, oh, did you bring 10 people? And she was like, no, I only brought 5. And he's like, well, I'll still let you go up, but you gotta suck my dick. Like, there are really guys out there like that. And I have told these women, I go, and at the time I ran a comedy club, and I told these women, like, I know that dude. Tell that dude if he doesn't put you on, like, he's getting banned at this club. You know what I mean? And it's like I would be like, tell that dude if he fucking says that to you again, like, I'm gonna get him banned at every club in this town. You know what I mean? Like, you got to fight that way. Like, you have to. But, yeah. Like, but some of these situations that people are just taking advantage of and kind of twisting the truth and, you know, making something out of nothing, and it doesn't bring any justice to the people that are really victims.
Well, yeah, it makes it harder for people that real stuff's happening to fucking, like, actually, it puts less validity into what they're saying or stuff that's happening.
It's almost like crying wolf, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, Hector, I'm just kidding.
Hector's my rapist name, chill.
Is your middle name Hector?
No, it's Mike.
It's Mark?
Michael.
Oh, Michael. Dude, I literally have your name saved in my phone as Ryan H. Hernandez. Because we called you Hector for so long.
They're so strong. That was the made-up name that I was given to me. So I had to fucking roll with it.
That's right. So to let the audience in on what we're talking about. So when we used to work at the comedy club together, what we would do is like we used to send out like there were texts at the time when you came along, right? We were texting.
There were text messages and no, it's phone calls. No, you have to call. So you'd have to. When I did it, you had to, there's a list of numbers and you would just call them.
Oh, that's
and
right.
It was
that's
funny
right.
Because it was you that told me though, because initially I was using my real name.
Right.
And then I was doing phone calls in front of you and you go, hey, don't use your real name. They go, just in case you're on the show.
Right.
They come and see you. They go, just in case they see you, they're going to be like, hey, that's the guy who called me. And they go, it makes it weird. Just make up a name. They don't know who you are.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And I was just like, I don't know. And then I was like, I'm so fresh and green. I didn't know on the spot. And you just go, Hector, you look like a Hector. And we started laughing, and then we started using Hector for everything.
And somewhere along the line, I thought it was your middle name, because it stuck.
Yeah, and
you do look like a Hector.
Like, well, Mexican.
But, dude, yeah, so like a lot of comedy clubs do that, by the way, for whatever their promotional tactic is, like phone calls, texting, emails, or, you know, old school New York, you know, Adam Hunter will tell you, he used to go out there and bark and just, I don't know if they still do
that.
Yeah,
that's what we're about. I did that. Yeah, well, not right now, but I mean, yeah, I started doing that when I first, that's how I got most of my stage time when I first came to New York, which was you'd bark outside of the show, and what they would do at that point is, some clubs do it differently. Some places, like comedy clubs, you have to actually bring in a certain amount of people for them to let you on stage.
Yeah.
That's one verse. Some other places that I'll go, they go just for being out there, and like whether you brought in people or you didn't, as long as they got a show going, they let you go on stage.
Oh, that's cool.
So it just depended on whoever was running it.
So now when you're standing out there, like, are you selling tickets or were you giving them away?
Pretty much everything's free shows. Almost every you can sell tickets. Those are for like more of the regular clubs. Mm-hmm. They sell tickets, and the incentive is you get to keep whatever. They have a... You pretty much have to buy them off of them, and then whatever, you can sell the tickets for whatever price you want and keep the rest.
Wow.
But most of the ones that I did were just free shows, so just like you got to get people in.
Yeah, comedy clubs have been doing different tactics like that for years. Some of them still do it, but like, yeah, when we worked at the HaHa, yeah, it was phone calls. Eventually, I think maybe after you left, it moved to text messages, but yeah, dude, we would have to just cold call. And then eventually it wasn't necessarily cold calling, because we would have like a list of people who have been to the club before. Like, you know, when they check in, we ask for their phone numbers. So I'm just telling the people listening, like, you know what I mean? So they were comedy fans, so they kind of were leads. So we would just get a list, and I'd give you a list, and then we just call. And
we don't have our own little – we had our own little personal notebooks.
Yeah, that's right. We had our own little
– I might said Hector on it.
That's right. That's right. It said Hector. And then you bring your notebook. You go, like, here's the ones I get. And you tell people, you know, listen, you won 10 free tickets to the comedy club. And they're like, you know – they get all excited and shit. Oh my God, we won. Really? You're like, yeah. So do you need all 10? And they're like, yeah, or no, I'll take 5. So then you write down their name and you put, okay, 5 tickets and the phone number. And then when they actually show up, we'll like check that they showed up. And then you would either like,
yeah,
a lot of comedy clubs, like they'll pay you per head that you got went up, or they'll let you go on stage if you got enough people to go, or, you know, they'll give you stage time and stuff. So that's how it works. So yeah, dude, I always felt weird. At first I was using my real name, and then they would come and go, wait, you're the guy that gave me the free tickets, and now you're on stage.
No, it wasn't.
It kind of seemed like a scam. And
well, yeah, it'd be like that with barking. So what would happen was you'd get people into the show, and then they throw you up, and then it's so funny because the audience, for the most part, the audience would kind of be like, like this guy, when they would do that. And when you first do, everyone does it the first time. Like when they first start barking, is they address that they saw the people outside, and that just makes your set weird.
Yeah.
So for the first couple of times, then later on, as you get seasoned, you just ignore it and just be your normal set. And
I know.
It's funny because they go along with it.
I hated shit like that.
Address it. Yeah, you thought you had to address it, and then you realize people didn't care, and you just made your own set weird. But then, yeah, that was actually kind of a weird one, because you would see people, and then. That's the only thing I hate about barking.
Yeah, dude. I remember, I used to work the door at the comedy club, and then when I would go on stage, I felt uncomfortable. And then at one point, I was waiting tables at the comedy club, and then I would go up on stage. So that's a really weird one. We're taking people's orders, and you're bringing them food.
You bring them a margarita?
Yeah.
You bring them a margarita, like, I'll be back, and then call you up.
Dude, one time I went on stage, and I fucking murdered. Like, I had a crazy killer set. And then I got off stage, and the second I walked off stage, the owner was like, hey, one of the servers didn't show up. Can you go take orders from that table? And I went and took orders, and I was like, hey, what can I get you guys? And they were like laughing, and I'm like, no, seriously, what can I get you guys? And they're like, what?
Oh, though, imagine
sucks, dude.
Bombed, how fucking bad that was.
Oh, it's even worse.
Bombed and then had to go back to the table.
They feel bad for you. They give you an extra tip. But I always felt uncomfortable with that stuff, so I changed my name, and then you were Hector, and I was Jim. You remember that?
You were Jim?
I was Jim. I always chose Jim because I was always a big fan of Jim Carrey. My mom's father, my mom's stepdad's name was Jim, and he's a good guy. And I always went with a name that was like 3 letters so that it was easy to remember. So if at any point you lived in Southern California and got a phone call or a text message from a Jim for free comedy club tickets, that was me.
that was him.
And he was Hector.
Also, if you got a margarita from somebody who was fucking on stage, that was also Augustina.
Do you remember Rico?
Yeah, I remember Rico. You know what's so funny is when I first started, I thought you guys were like twins, but then later on, I'm like, no, they're completely different. Dude,
I shapeshifted to different people because my weight fluctuated so much all the time. Like, people, because me and Rico were both Italian, and he used to tell everybody his name was Anthony. And then we were always constantly working together side by side. And to tell you the truth, bro, if I showed you a picture of him young and a picture of me young, which we've even showed each other's parents, they're like, holy shit. We do look like exactly alike. I actually showed a picture of Rico young to my mom, and she really thought it was me.
Oh, no way.
And then other times, you know, I got really heavy at one time, and when I stopped working at the comedy club and I just wanted to pursue being a comedian only, when I went out in the real comedy world and started to really get to know people and stuff like that, they literally started calling me Jack Jr. Like, really? So many people thought I was Jack Jr., which, like, I don't really look like him at all, but I guess I was like a little bigger.
You know what it was? It was bigger, the beard probably you had, and a backwards hat.
Yeah.
I was a Jack Jeter uniform.
And then I think that I worked there so much that people thought that I was their son.
You were getting mad because they kept calling you that and you were wearing a Sucia shirt.
Yeah. I was. A couple times I have worn a Sucia shirt with Jack Jr. sells.
Oh, look like Jack Jr. himself wearing his merch.
I have a picture of me and him both wearing that shirt. But no, seriously, dude, I think I used to work at the club for so long and I was there so many hours. And did so many different jobs from, you know, promotion, comedian,
dude,
waiting tables,
yeah,
managing
when you,
the
when
club.
You at, when you worked at that, when you worked at that club, like regardless of what it was, like they just, it was just like no rules. They just, you did everything there.
I did, dude. I cooked. Like I booked the shows. I cooked. I ran the light, the shows.
I remember what did I do? I did that. I DJ'd.
Yeah.
And I remember. I think one of the. Bartenders was late and they had me make drinks for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. If you have a pulse, like,
oh,
you can do
and
it.
And I was a door guy. I remember I was a door guy too. I could see people early on in the show.
That's right.
And I ran. Dude, I remember, like, it was so crazy. Like, my first 3 months, I ran a show with, I had no clue what I was doing.
Hey,
they gave me a show with Matt.
Say what you want, bro, about the HaHa Comedy Club, but they do not discriminate. I don't care what race.
They get, like, you got opportunity there.
Yeah. You, what's that? You don't have any experience? Quite all right. Come on down. But
you've
dude,
you've never worked a job in your life. Cool. Come, you wait tables for us.
But it came to the point where people assumed that I was their son instead of Jack Jr. being their son. So I think that kind of stuck. And so when I started to do comedy, because Jack Jr. also did comedy. And or does comedy, yeah. I should say, but he also does comedy. So when I started to get out there myself on my own, independently doing comedy, people easily confused me for him.
They're like, Augustino, Jack's yeah. son. How's he been?
Yeah. Or they just thought that they had two sons and one of them did comedy and one of them didn't. And oddly enough, a lot of people, when I quit the HaHa, they told me that, that they didn't even know I did comedy. Like some guys are like, hey, you know, so what are you doing? You're out here just hanging? And I'm like, no, man, I'm going up.
You're like, yeah, I'm that guy.
And they're like, oh, you started? And I was like, man, I've been doing this way longer than Jack Jr. I don't know about way longer, maybe a year. But anyway, yeah, good times, dude. You got any plans to come back? Or not really, because there's no shows out here.
Well, yeah, not as of right now, but... that's not kind of been in the talks. We've been out here for a good amount of time. Rent places are getting smaller, rents going up, and I know in LA rent's ridiculous too.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
I think we might be making a trip, move out to the West Coast soon. But we'll see
really?
What's going on. And plus, like, I run a podcast with a buddy of mine, and he lives in LA. So it's like
most of
everything that I've done has kind of been running past over there, so
yeah.
It kind of looks that way, but I'm not having really put anything out yet.
Who knows, dude? I think that a lot of people are leaving these major cities like New York and LA to go to calmer places, less expensive places, especially after this COVID
dude,
thing.
I just fucking go on like realtors.com and like look at like Texas and Vegas rent.
Oh man, I know it's so low.
And start jerking off.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I'm like,
hilarious,
oh, three-bedroom, $900.
Real estate porn.
Yeah.
Dude, good catching up with you, man. If you do come out here, hit me up, please. If you hear about some shit opening up out there, let me know because I'm at a point where I might even. I might fly around the country to fucking do an open mic right now.
Like, what are you doing? I'm out here for 2 days to do some mics. All right,
dude,
cool, man.
Don't be surprised if I hit you up and I got a show that I'm running and I'm like, bro, you want to fly out and do some time? You want to do 5 minutes?
You want to spend $300 in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
You fly all the way out,
dude,
and I light you at four.
I did that one time for a festival. Oh, dude, I felt like such a piece of shit.
I hate doing shit. I don't know why comics do that stuff where they fly. It's like, dude, there's plenty of open mics to do here.
No. I did. I got accepted to a festival in Grand Rapids called Laugh Fest. And I remember I did it, and I messed up on it because I didn't do... I should have went and I should have hung out more than what I did because I know my friends that did that got put up on other shows. So I kind of just went there and, dude, I drove from fucking New York all the way to Grand Rapids, which is like a 16-hour drive.
Yeah.
And then I just went up, did 5 minutes, and came home.
Oh, man. Tough, dude.
I didn't move on from the first round. So fucking pissed.
Tough. But anyway, dude, I got to keep. Hopefully, we'll be on stage soon. Dude, thanks so much for spending the time and calling in, bro. It was good to talk to you. I'm glad I dreamt about you.
For sure, man. I'm glad I got booked on your dream show, dude.
Yeah, fucking, dude.
Let them know, dude, I'm available.
I got you.
Still, so you need someone to fill in time. Fucking. Also, just real quick, is it cool if I shout out my podcast on this?
Please.
Oh, yeah. So if you guys want to check me out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the handle's at Ryan Hernan or Ryan H. Comedy, either one of the two. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Got a cool fucking amount of videos on there to check out. Also, my podcast is called The Chunkla Chronicles. Running with a good buddy of mine, Julio Barra, hilarious guy from East L.A. We've been recording. We haven't put out the first episode yet, but I've just been cutting up a lot of the stuff that we've been recording. I'll have that out soon, but check that out. It'll be on every platform. But other than that, dude, I'm online.
Nice, bro. Nice, man. Thank you so much, dude. If you see Brian Day out there, tell him I said hello.
Oh, Brian's in, I think, Florida right now. He fucking left once this shit hit. He got out of the city. But he's been good, dude. We've been fucking running around and been doing shows and mics, dude. It's been fun.
That little shit talker.
Good to see an old friend out here. Oh, dude, he's fucking insane. Love him to death.
I love him to death, too. He's out there, but he's a shit talker. He's Captain Trump, but then he's Captain Trump, but then he fled to Florida.
I start hyping him up, get him drunk, and start talking about subjects, and he gets all fucking debatey. It's hilarious.
I love him, dude. I should have him call in soon because I love that guy. Dude. He's a good dude. Anyway, dude, thank you so much, and I'll see you soon.
I don't know, Paul Agostino.
Later, take buddy. That was my buddy Ryan Hernandez. Nice to catch up with him. I hope that you guys enjoyed the show and talking about. You know, the different things people went through. And that was I think that was the first time I talked to somebody who actually had the test in that really graphic way. And that was interesting to hear about. Crazy times, man. Crazy times in New York and L.A. and everywhere. But hopefully comedy comes back soon. And hopefully to all our performing artists and artists that listen to this podcast, whatever you do, I hope that you're doing it still. And if not, that it comes back soon and we all have audiences to appreciate it very, very soon. You guys, please don't forget to click the link in the description. If you have a podcast, please click the link in the description for Share a Sale. Share a Sale is a great way to find sponsors for your podcast. Or if you have a business, it's a great way to find a podcast who can promote your business. So click the link in the description if you have a podcast and you want to get sponsors and sign up as an affiliate. If you have a business and you want podcasts to rep you, sign up, click the link in the description and sign up as a merchant. Also, don't forget about Puffy Mattress. It's time for a good night's sleep. You guys, $300 off your mattress plus one free King Puffy pillow, which just makes the fucking thing complete. You guys, you got to get the pillow if you're going to get the mattress. It's just so totally worth it. So $300 off, you got the free pillow, you have 101 nights to sleep on it, guarantee money back. And some of you may qualify. You just got to fill out the if you got pretty decent credit, you'll fill out the thing and you'll get approved for zero down and you can make payments on it. Otherwise, you gotta buy in full like I did, because I'm a fucking bad credit fuck. But anyway, you guys, click the link in the description, all right? And please go to homeschoolpod.com, click on sponsors, the links are also there. And while you're there, click on merch, and please check out our new t-shirts, the Document the Journey t-shirts. It's dope. It has a peace symbol on it as well as a podcast symbol on it, and it just blends really well together. I'm really excited about this new logo. So pick up a t-shirt or a sticker or something at homeschooledpod.com. I want to give a big thank you to Ryan, a.k.a. Hector Hernandez, for calling in. I want to give a big thank you to Kevin Lyons for all his hard work. And, of course, to all of you who continue to support the Homeschool Podcast or are trying us for the first time. We'll see you guys next time.